We live.
Bow.
Hey, Joshua.
I don't know how to act. But we haven't done this in a while, so.
I know. I freaking know. I'm like, we're so behind on everything. I'm like, how's life? Mine's falling. Mine's falling apart.
Guys, Carla just took the snowball microphone. Shout out the snowball, and she smashed the shit out of it. Bro, come on, don't do that to the mic.
Yo, the mic smacked me back. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the mic hard headed, bro. But now, all right, let's start it off. All right, welcome to What the Fuck Latinx podcast.
Carla,
you. This is you. Yo, we got a rhythm.
I know, you threw me on because you said what I say. The podcast where Joshua and Carla talk about what the fuck is our Latinx culture, including food, including legends, including culture stuff, including current news,
and including
whatever impacts our Latin culture some way, somehow, we're going to talk about it.
And y'all can't forget about the almighty chancleta.
Whoosh. Your thing? Your obsession. If we ever have merch, it's just gonna be your face as a chancleta. Can we do that?
No, so all my Dominicans out there, todo mi dominicano, tú sabes, cuando la mercancía salga, vamos a hacer una chancletica samural, exclusiva, ya tú sabes, una vaina bacana. Wunk.
Oh Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So
my English speaking audience, just know we're gonna come out with some fire ass sandals or maybe some slides. You know, some real cozy WTF Latinx shit. Ah, y'all know the vibes.
Other people do who this, we just make chancletas.
Yo, we're gonna come out with the pop. Yo, we just do the whole stereotypical merch line.
Yeah, we do it like in a double case.
Hold on, we can't be giving out the sauce. We can't be giving out the sauce like that. Alright, so
I'm like trademark.
Yeah, copyright. I say we've kind of been gone for a little bit, but we back.
Yo, and last episode, I said my schedules was messing me up. Let me tell you, like, nothing's changed. We just like working through it at this point.
We're working through this, working through COVID, working through school too. Carla's getting her degrees.
Yeah, like we're doing work full time, school full time. Having some, like, yo, you know how when the year started, I was complaining and I'm still complaining. And it's like, yo, so August, I started a new job, which I was blessed for, but like my time management kind of like went down there. September, I changed schools because I was in the current, like I was in a school and I transferred to another one because it just wasn't working for my lifestyle anymore, especially after COVID. Like I needed something more flexible. So I changed schools and that was stressful as heck. October, I have some car issues and some financial stuff happening. So then like my bank was going whatever. And it's November. I'm still recovering. I'm like,
yo, as
I'm somebody scared.
As somebody that's real close to you, you've definitely gone through a lot this year. that beginning phase of COVID. To like that transitional portion when you kind of started to get your shit together. And then as soon as you kind of think that you have your shit together, you realize, oh shit.
Every time, every month this year, I'm like, you know, like that was just a bump in the road, but like we got this next month and the next month just slaps me in the face like this microphone.
It's like, well, you like get smacked in the face by microphones?
So anyway, child, yeah, what's up with you though?
All right, so I'm not in the same boat as you. I'm still working the same job, sadly, but I'm actually working towards, like, you know, I'm working on finding a new job, a job that's kind of like creative, that lets me kind of flex my creative muscles, man. But it's definitely been stressful. I've never gone to work and done school full time, and that's actually been the most challenging thing in the world to me. I don't know how some people do it, and I know single mothers that. That have worked two jobs, school full time, and to take care of a kid. God bless y'all.
I would work three and four part time jobs at the same time. And I'm like, now that I'm just working one full time, it's like, how did I do it? Like, how would I drive from work to work to work to work? Like, I'll just be going back and forth. I used to waste so much money on gas just driving from one job to another to class.
But I ain't gonna lie to you, I've learned a lot. I've learned that, yo, in order to really do this school shit, and if you really want this degree, you have to make sacrifices. Like, I've sacrificed hanging out with my friends. I sacrificed my time now. So it's a lot. But it's worth it, though. It's worth it. The goal, the end goal is there. I know what I want.
I feel like, was it worth it? I think if you know what you want, it's worth it.
Nah, that's a fact. That's a fact. It sucks too if you don't know what you want and you're wasting all this time and you're wasting all this money and resources.
I had this conversation the other day. I'm like, you know, someone who graduated with an engineering degree and then now they have the rapping career, a SoundCloud rapper career.
Oh, yeah.
Know what they wanted to do. So it's just like, school isn't for everyone, but if it is what you want, you can do it. You're just gonna have to make sacrifices.
It's crazy. I forget what reasoning my boy gave me.
That, like, I'm one of those people that, like, I went to school thinking I had, like, I just had to. And I'm like, you know, I would have, like, stopped at my bachelor's degree. Like, maybe I would have made some things differently if I knew that I could have just started my own business at 18.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm in that same boat where if I really would have, like, just taken my art shit seriously when I was 16, we would have known,
like, we could have researched and, like, done social media differently. But at the same time, the stuff that I want to do a business on isn't the stuff that I graduated from business school. So it's just kind of like, I need a little bit of both.
It's crazy because at the end of it all, you really don't need school, but the degree does open doors. And if you don't got that grind and that hustle naturally, you're going to build it up in school because school going to make you, it's going to teach you how to
grind. You're going to have to learn if you don't like it.
You feel me? So,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to learn one way or another. But anyway, child. So you want to tell our audience what this week's episode's about?
So since we're a little behind, you know, we were supposed to, I believe we were going to drop this episode when?
Like 4 weeks ago.
So we kind of just catching up, but we're doing a spooky October, spooky story time. Where me and Carl have both chosen our own. What?
That's not what I wanted to call it.
Oh, what are we calling it?
We're doing. I'm like looking at my notes. Spooktober. An episode of What the Fuck Legends Spooktober edition.
Ah, damn. All right, so
doesn't that sound, you know, like...
We're doing exactly what Carla just said. I'm not going to repeat myself. But yeah, so I chose a legend, she chose a legend, and we're going to discuss.
Okay. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
You know what? I feel like my legend, there's... ¿Cómo te digo? It's a lot more simpler. So we can start off with mine, and then yours is a little bit heavier, so we can, like, really get into it.
Do you have a problem with heavier topics?
Okay, sure you said that. No, nigga, but yeah, let's go.
Okay. Okay, yep, so it's your turn. Start talking.
I ain't gonna lie to you. We've done so many, like, spooky episodes that when I was looking and searching, I kept having to, like, having to hop into Google and write different things, because literally almost everything that we've ever talked about has popped up.
Oh yeah.
And then I stumbled across El Ciblón, which in English,
El Ciblón, S-I-L-B-O-N.
Yeah. The Whistler.
Okay, gotcha.
All right. And this one low-key kind of stuck out to me just because of, there's just like little nuances about it that kind of like, oh shit, this is kind of cool. At least I thought it was cool.
We about to find out what you thought was cool.
Yo, so if it sounds like I'm hesitating and pausing, it's because Carla is like the queen of like the spooky stories. So if I low-key pick a trash spooky story, she gonna let me know and she gonna fry me. Yes. I'm not trying to get fried.
Yes. I'm so ready for that fried chicken. Come on.
Oh, she about to fry me, boo. Now, all right, so let me start off, right? So the Whistler, mm-hmm. aka el what color?
El Silbón.
So Silbón. He's a legendary figure in Colombia and Venezuela.
Okay.
And every article that I looked into, right, they described him as, hold up, I can't see your face. I can't see your beautiful face. Let me I gotta see you while I'm speaking, bro. There we go. We let know. Cause I feel like I'm speaking to myself. But now, so they describe him as a lost soul. And La Leyenda, that his legend kind of starts off in the 19th century. Okay. And every story starts off where everybody describes it as there's this young boy that ends up killing his father.
Oh God.
And the first version of the story, Elijo, he comes back from a long day of just like hanging out with his friends. Mm-hmm. And he finds his father abusing like this beautiful young woman.
Abusing
her, like physically abusing her.
Okay.
And the kid got so mad that he ends up killing the father.
Wow. Okay.
So the legend basically follows is like it follows that every single time, primarily always in the summertime apparently, that he wanders the area known as Los Llano. And Los Llano is like this foresty area down in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And on hot humid days, El Espíritu del kind of wanders and they say it hungers for death. And mm-hmm. it's only looking for people that are drunk, that are womanizers, and very seldomly does it like attack like innocent people.
You know, this is a legend I can go up against. No, I mean, like, I support Venezuela.
Low key, that's what made me kind of like vibe with it a little bit more because I've never heard a legend where the spirit.
The ghost is like, fuck abusers.
the ghost is like, first off, I don't fuck with drunk people. And in some of the legends that I read, they say that the father was kind of drunk. Mm,
so he doesn't fuck with people who were like his father. Interesting.
Uh-huh, basically, it's basically that. And the legend says, he sucks out the alcohol out of everybody that's drunk. And
okay, vampire. Yo, okay, Twilight.
Bro, low-key, I was getting chupacabra vibes because he only sucks out the alcohol through their ombligo. So he sucks it out through the navel area when he finds them alone. And then in every single story, it ends off where he ends up tearing up the womanizers into little pieces, and he carries a sack where he puts their bones in. And the legend has it that the sack that he carries is the same sack that he used to like put his father's body in.
Jesus Christ! And this obvious, is some murder like mystery shit.
It's definitely some super murder mystery shit. And hold on, my bad. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
And this, so that's like the main version of the story. There's different versions where they say that he appears as like a big giant that's about 6 feet high. He's almost as tall as trees. And whenever you're walking alone at night, you kind of get this chilling whistling sound. And that's how you know that he's near you. Okay, you hear this crazy whistling sound. And then it's always followed up by like a bag of bones. Kind of like letting you know, like, yo, I'm here. You a womanizer. You drunk. I'm catching you at your weakest moment right now. And he just takes him away. Boom. And he's always dressed up in like in that traditional like campesino attire. Or he's like, he has the straw hat, the tattered pants, and just that bag over his shoulder. So that was a legend I found, bro. I enjoyed it mainly because of that part, that little aspect where I've never heard of a ghost that's attacking people that are drunk and like womanizers.
You know what calls my attention too is when I was doing my research, most of my stories were like women. So it's like the nun, the woman in white, the woman in black.
La Llorona.
They stand in the La Llorona, like it's just a woman that's in the forest or was killed by her husband. etc. Can't see the light gleam. Gotcha. Yeah, so most of the stories that I found were of women. So the fact that it's of the ghost of a man who's like doing revenge and defending the innocent, I think that's really cool.
Bro, I know, like I was so surprised that I found a story that was kind of...
In Venezuela, like, you don't hear, if you're not there, you don't hear these stories. So I'm glad that you brought it up. Okay.
Nah, yeah, exactly. And I can't show you. Mm-hmm. Damn, I can't screen share, but they actually have a shrine. There's like a little spot in Venezuela that they have a park.
Send it through the chat so I can see it and we can post it on social media. I got
you
right now.
You can see this. So you can kind of get like an image of what people thought that he looked like.
Gotcha. Okay.
Realistically, he kind of resembles like a sad little boy.
That's so sad. It's sad, but it's like also like you're not scared of him. So that's kind of cool. Okay. So my turn. Hello. Are you ready for this?
Yo, guys. So Carla be having the craziest research techniques. Like, yo, the way that she ended up finding this was crazy to me.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. I don't know if the listener is ready.
Oh, actually, give me one sec.
Yo, did you see the picture?
I saw a link. Give me a sec.
Oh, I can actually send a full picture through there, huh?
Yeah. Oh, I see. I see both. Oh, that's actually really cute. Oh, I like that.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like the bag of bones. And he's like a anti-hero. Like he defends. He's not the best, but he defends. That's cool.
Exactly.
So my story is going to be about the BEC or Black Eyed Kids. BEC, BEK, the BEK or Black Eyed Kids. And this one's a little bit more of a like American legend, but I have found a couple of stories in different Latin American countries, so I'm gonna bring those up as well. And
where they pop up in Mexico.
Yeah. So I did hear this story a little bit ago from like the podcast that I listened to. So shout out to, and that's why we dream, because I think that's the first time I ever heard of it. And then I went down a rabbit hole and I've been waiting to like do this episode.
Right.
Because there's so a million theories to what this is and I don't like any of them.
That's just from your perspective.
Yeah, so it's like crazy. So let's start at the beginning. So what are or who are the Black Eyed Kids or children? These are part of a paranormal legend. They're creatures that resemble children, usually ages 6 to 16. And they usually have pale skin. They have black eyes. They're usually seen as hitchhiking or... they're seen at like doorsteps of residential homes, like trying to get into your house, your car, like the store, leave with you, etc. And they're like pale children. Sometimes they dress funny, like they dress from a different time. And they'll wear something to hide their face. So they'll wear a hood, a hat, glass, sunglasses when they approach you. And if you say no to them, then they'll show you their eyes and they're completely black.
Okay, this shit is hell, bro.
I know, it's like
it's even creepier because it's like a child.
Yeah, so like the part of me that wants to like defend, like, you know, it's an offensive child who needs help, but also like it's not human. So like, why is it approaching you and why does it behave this way? So these creatures have been covered in tabloids since about like the 1980s, and then most sources say that this story originated in Texas from a 1996 posting of gross retailing mailing lists related to two alleged encounters of the Black Eyed Kids. So one of the encounters described with two children in Abilene, Texas in 1996. Mind you, I was born in 97, so it was like 20 years ago about this point. 20 plus years.
Yeah. It's 20, like 22 years ago.
Yeah, about that. And then there was the other person that claimed to have a similar encounter was in Portland, Oregon. So like different places.
It's like different parts of the world. Not the world, but like the United States.
Yeah. And now today, like these stories have been considered a little bit of a creepypasta. Like people have taken the original encounters and then just like develop it to like, ooh, you don't want to be outside because then the Black Eyed Kids are going to get you or whatever.
Ooh, be careful.
But that's how they became more popular in online on the internet than they were in the 90s, because then people could kind of give it more of a storyline of why were these Black Eyed Kids here.
No, of course. Mm-hmm. And
in 2012, the TV series Monsters and Mysteries in America wrote a follow-up article in the news describing his experiences in maintaining the belief that these kids actually exist. So I think like something really interesting about it is that this isn't like there wasn't a book written about it or anything like that yet. It was all of like experiences that people had that came out in the TV or like the news. People are like, yo, I really saw this and it scared the life out of me. And people took that real quote unquote story and turned it into creepypastas and like scary stories.
That's, but you know, you've ever played that game in school where you like tell a secret.
Telephone? And go around.
Yeah. And then by the end, the original secret turns into something else.
Yeah.
I feel like where a lot of these stories originally started is like word of mouth. It's like every person that touched the story maybe added on like a little bit more.
And so
who knows what the original story was. Now we have whatever story.
But if it was regular children and then someone just added black eyes and we're like, okay, well, I guess we're going with this now.
Bro, when I think of black eyed children, I think of my nephew when he hasn't slept in like 24 hours because he's been up playing video games.
No.
that young boy looked like a raccoon.
Oh, Lord. Well, no, these ones are like their eye sockets. Like the whole inside of the eye is just all black.
Oh, so like the pupil and everything.
Yeah. Like the whole thing, even like everything's all black.
Oh, nah, hold up. That's demon time for real.
Yeah, it makes me think of demons and stuff like that.
That's definitely the vibe that I'm getting. Like, because I don't know if this is completely true, but I've heard that spirits can channel their energy through children a lot easier than they can adults.
I feel like spirits can communicate with children easier, but I wouldn't see, like, you don't hear many, like, children being possessed. Maybe it's me, but I hear more adults.
I definitely hear more adults, but I've heard that children are more
susceptible to
shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like that's like where the concept of like imaginary friends come from, is that they're really ghosts, but children can like vibe with that frequency.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that concept. If my children says they're seeing ghosts, like we're moving. I can't. Nope. We're not doing this.
Emo niggas.
That same week, I'm like, we're selling the house. Let's go.
That's just crazy. But no, keep going.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different shows that have tried to use the stories to like, for like, you know, television entertainment. But one of the information that stands out to me is science writer Sharon A. Hill was unable to find any documentation of black-eyed child encounters, concluding that these tales must have been passed on as a friend of a friend ghost stories, kind of like you were saying. And they consider that these legends to be like more just folklore instead of like real experiences. But that's the thing. Then it's like, if it came from real experiences, then
than it
how did before. How do you find evidence for that? Like, how do you have people who are gonna either be humiliated? Like, people aren't gonna want to talk about that, right? Maybe I'm crazy, but I'm like, nah, if I saw some shit.
Bro, if I saw some shit and I've already told, like, let's say I tell my inner circle, yo, I seen something, and everybody's looking at me crazy, the last thing I want to do is, like, tell somebody else, because then I was like, I'm already labeled Mr. Crazy. You know how it is. Once you get that label of being crazy, that it's a bad stigma. You don't want to hear that no more.
Yeah, I guess that's where I'm coming from, so it's kind of hard to be like,
imagine trying to explain that shit to somebody, because, yeah, I looked up. There was a kid there at first. He had normal eyes. I looked away, looked again. His eyes were black. It's like, huh?
Yeah. So finishing from, like, that historic background, this is what I mostly remember of, like, stories, is, like, there's certain patterns that these children continue to repeat. And it's, like, number one, they wear clothing to hide their eyes. Number two, they'll ask for permission to go into wherever you're at. So if you're in a car, it'll be outside. It'll ask for you to let them inside the car. Or if you're in your house, they'll knock the door and ask to let you in, to let them into your house to use the phone, use the bathroom, some bullshit liar. Number three, everyone always describes them as really pale for some whatever vampire reason. So it's like, yeah. So my first thing was like, oh, is it like a legend of like vampires? Like, is that what we're going for here? But yeah, it's really weird. So it's like, oh, so vampire? No, yes, God maybe knows. It's
especially where they're pale, and then they're like, their drip is like from the 19th century.
Their drip.
The drip, you know, the clothing, everything's like real old, tattered. It probably looks old fashioned.
Yeah, they dress funny. That's another thing. Is like, some people would say that they would come across them dressing in like 1800s clothes or talking, yes, like they were from a different era. So then it's like, are these creatures like even from our time? Like,
who knows, bro?
Are they time jumping? Are they aliens? There's a lot of like theories about these black eyed children being aliens.
It's funny because like the more you tell me, the more that I still hold on to the thought that they're demons.
Okay. I have some more information from somethingwicked.com. So it says,
that's not, yo, why does that sound like an England-based company? Yo, something wicked, kid.
I can't. So they usually appear at night from the ages of 6 and 16, which we mentioned previously. They usually appear on people's doorstep at night asking to come inside. They often ask to use the telephone, bathroom, or something to drink, or ask for a lift in a person in the car. They have also been reported to, in one account, ask to use a telegraph. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, it's 2020 or like even 2018 or even like in the 80s. You can notice like there's a disconnect on like the use of technology. Like, they don't know what's current. They are reported to have no whites in their eyes, iris, or pupil. Instead, it's all completely black. Or some have described their eyes changing during their encounter, and are often described as pale or a deathly pallor. They have been reported to be wearing white nightgowns and are often reported wearing clothes that are out of date or vintage. They are also reported to have unpleasant smell surrounding them, often musty or moldy, and in general quite earthy, sometimes sulfur, and are often described as having a breathless, monotone voice, high-pitched giggles, or be very well spoken for children. They speak directly and demanding in an aggressive way for you, like, let me inside now. And like, but keep in mind that this is a 7-year-old demanding to be let inside your house. So there's just something about kids that creeps me the fuck out.
Oh, bro. Especially kids that are like that, like overly aggressive.
Like, you're too young to be acting like an adult this way.
Exactly, that's a fact, bro. And then you add all those other factors where it's like you're wearing old, moldy, musty clothing. There's a funky smell.
Yeah.
And then you're using sophisticated words, and you have this awkward energy to you.
So this is the thing. They're like demanding, and they can be polite when you meet them, but then become angry when they are refused.
Bro, nah, bro. Just me thinking about it, I'm getting the worst mind movie right now.
Right. They are sometimes reported to become extremely frustrated and angry if refused entry, even bang on doors and windows for hours. And it is believed that allowing a black-eyed child in your car or home will result in a curse, illness, or even death. There's a lot of stories that, like, of people who said that they've refused them, closed the door, and when they open again, they're completely gone. Like, in seconds, they'll be gone. But if you do let them in, somehow people become really sick and die like months later after the encounter. Whoever allows them in, so like if it's not you, but it's your husband, then your husband suddenly becomes really ill afterwards.
See, to me, that's the part where the asking for permission comes in.
Yeah, right? But I can't understand how it'd be related. Like, how can you, are you asking to get into their body, to take their energy? Like, I don't...
That's what I'm thinking. Because it's like, when you let something into your personal space, you're letting it into... You're letting it come into contact with your energy. So that... I don't know, maybe. That's a thought. That's an idea. Because that's where the whole asking for permission part gets kind of spooky. It's like, it wants to gain access to something. Yes, it wants to go into your house, but why your house specifically?
Yeah, that's the part that I don't like.
Why ask, you know, specifically?
So, interesting enough, there are some accounts that describe wide-eyed child showing up after the black-eyed kids. Somehow setting their mind at ease. So, after the black-eyed kids come and you refuse them, wide-eyed kids come and, like, calm you down.
Huh?
Which doesn't make me feel any better, but okay.
Oh, nigga, this ghost after ghost? What?
Yeah. So Iroquois, Iroquois, I can't pronounce this, but Iroquois legends from a Native American's Iroquois. Black-eyed children also appear in their legends. Pale-skinned possessed offsprings of evil-minded one, an unsuspecting Iroquois woman. The evil-minded one is a dark archetype of Satan-like being, so like demons in Native American tradition. Who took the form of a reptilian snake, but would also try to manifest in human form in order to try and mate with the unsuspecting woman. So there's different versions of this monster, per se.
Monster, alien.
Like, there's different legends that come from different roots. There's also versions of them in Scandinavian legends and paranormal investigators. And none of them really match up. So this is one of those legends that's like, I don't get it. But it also freaks me out. Like, I never want to see one.
Bro, it just makes me look at little kids differently.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. Like, I feel like that's even more creeped out of little kindergartners that are looking at me funny.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about this is there's a couple of Mexican places and the website of MexicoExplained.com. I think they also have a website podcast.
Oh, they've had like actual interactions with them down in Mexico.
Yeah, in Tijuana. Like, not even like in the central and like larger cities of Mexico state.
You know what though, that actually makes sense to me, because it says in the opening paragraph it talked about the legends being like kind of they spawn from Texas, right?
Yeah, from that area.
So Texas and Mexico, that there's like that they share that border.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if like the environment, like the temperature affects it.
Yeah, it's kind of like mine.
Let me read you.
It only comes out when it's hot in the summer.
Let me read you one story. So in early March of 2015, in the opposite Mexican Republic from Tijuana, a spate of sightings of Los Bex occurred in Mérida, the centuries-old capital of the state of Yucatán. According to this article found in Melino Novedades, the sightings began with two appearances of the children in two different areas in the city. In the Mexico of Xibalbán neighborhoods, in each case, the mysterious kids appeared on the doorsteps of private homes asking for water and if they could come into the houses. The children in both cases fit the standard black-eyed kid descriptions and caused great distress in those who experienced them. On Sunday, March 7th, two separate instances involving these children occurred in Mérida's Xoclán Cemetery. Juana Solís was at the graveyard with her three daughters, leaving flowers at the tomb of a relative who had recently passed away. Small boys with los ojos completamente negros approached them asking for water, which is like, little boy, what are you doing in the cemetery to begin with, asking for water?
Yo, that's my first question. Like, little boy, please, what is you doing? Where's your mommy? Where's your daddy? I give you no water.
No. When they turned around, the boy had disappeared. Later that day, a man identified as Pedro saw two children fitting the appropriate description in the cemetery, in the same cemetery, but he had no interaction with them, and they vanished as quickly as they had appeared. There's a dozen of theories of what they are, but again, like, could they, there's like people who say, are they aliens? Are they failed experiments? Are they vampires, since they match so much the vampire description? Like, if in the United States they say they're not real, but if they were to be real, none of the usual descriptions that we have for creatures fits them.
Nothing, bro. They really don't have a real category, because it does sound like a vampire, like an energy vampire, to be honest, where it's like it's this entity of negative energy, kind of like.
And what I hate is that, like, these experiences aren't from the 80s. Like, there's another story that's in February of 2012. Oh, resident of a small town in Mexican state of Colima, Valeria was very tired after a day of spending hours in class, and the rest of the day was a part-time job at a factory. In the early evening, she heard a knock on the door, a very persistent knock. She opened the door, and standing there was a boy of about 4 or 5 years old looking down and muttering words, mama, mama. She asked the child questions. Are you lost? Where are your parents? Thinking that the parents had to be close by. She took the boy by the hand and started to walk away from the house towards the road. And she was surprised how cold his hand was. But it was February and they were higher up in the elevation, so it was a colder time of the year.
So that would kind of make sense as to why it's cold.
Yeah. So after about 8 steps towards the road, the child let go of Valerie's hand and looked at her with complete black eyes. When her eyes met his, she let out a scream and started running. He ran in the other direction. It took her days of her life to feel normal. She never saw the child again. And there's a million stories like that from Mexico and the rest of the world. So this is a phenomenon that's happening still in the last 10 years, and we don't have any explanation for it. All that you have to know is that you can't let them into your house or your car, because bad things are going to happen.
You can't let them gain access to anything like this person. Fucking spooky.
But yeah, that's my story. That was a couple of stories there that happened in Mexico. As I mentioned, some of my references are somethingwicked.com and mexicounexplained.com, as well as Wikipedia, because of course I had to get the core history there. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. And we'll have the next episode. It's also going to be something spooky. And then we'll go back to a regular schedule programming.
You already know the vibe. We're going to have the
Go follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.
Everybody, peace.
Bye-bye.
Wow, 2020. Let's go, baby.